We've all heard the expression burning the candle at both ends, and what that usually entails is sleep getting the short end of that bargain. But I think today we're going to find out that cutting back on sleep is not a recipe for a happy and healthy life.
I mean, that's exactly right, and I think many of us really do underestimate the importance of getting enough sleep each night. Now, there's not one magic number that's right for everyone. We tend to vary in how many hours of sleep we need. Most Americans between 6 or 8, though, was considered sort of as an adult an average amount of sleep. But one of the most important things is really to listen to your body and to make sure you're protecting time for sleep each night. Because we're increasingly finding with psychological research that, you know, just even sometimes as little as 30 minutes or an hour of deprivation over time can really have some significant negative impacts on our quality of life and our ability to function.
Well, if the amount of sleep needed varies by person, how do we know as individuals if we're getting enough sleep?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, I think some of it is to sort of check in on yourself and see, you know, especially, if you know, and see how things are going in your life. Because oftentimes we mistake difficulties we're having for other things and don't necessarily link back to sleep as possibly one of the causes that is giving us these difficulties. So one of the most common things we experience is stress, right? Our ability to cope with changing and difficult situations. And, you know, having inadequate sleep can really make it more difficult for us to use our psychological resources to overcome those challenges. You know, another area is something like attention. We know that you know, many folks have attention deficit disorder and hyperactivity disorder and have sort of clinical difficulties with attention. But what's interesting is that, you know, something as simple as sort of an hour of sleep debt, you know, an hour less sleep than needed over a relatively, you know, short period of time, you know, just a few days adding up, can mimic some of the symptoms of ADHD. Right? So our ability to sort of pay attention, to stay on task, to get the work done that we need in our lives can really be impacted by lack of sleep.
Well, how can we take steps to make sure that we get enough sleep and avoid these situations?
Yeah, you know, and unfortunately, there's no magic formula for this. I mean, it really is, you know, simply prioritizing ourselves and protecting sleep, you know, in some ways at all costs, you know. And of course, this is difficult, especially if you have kids and others in your life, that it's not always possible to get as much sleep as you'd like. But one thing you can do is protect the time. So we have different interventions and way to help people with sleep. And we often call these ideas simply sleep hygiene, sort of how to clean up your act or get a sense of, you know, give yourself the best chance of getting the sleep that you need. And so one of the simple ones is really, you know, just like when you were kids, set a bedtime and stick to it, right? Most of us are waking up, you know, pretty much at the same time consistently, but setting that bedtime so we're also sort of getting to bed and protecting that time for sleep every night can be really important. Another thing is not letting other activities or things creep into the bedroom and before we get to sleep, right? So things like reading in bed, I've been... Oh, geez, I don't know if I should admit it. I've been guilty of writing emails from bed and then checking, you know, waking up and then, you know, well, I don't know why, you know, with the idea that, well, maybe if I get just a few more messages out, I'll be ahead in the morning. No, and in fact, it really just makes everything worse. You're less effective then, and you're losing time for sleep, and you're not really training your body effectively for sleep as well. When we look at individuals with insomnia or other sleep difficulties, often it's because they haven't set up a routine that gets themselves ready for bed. So we know that smartphones can be particularly bad culprits. Some of the light there interacts with other aspects of our nervous system to actually program us to wake up when we're lying there trying to go to bed. So that can be a big no-no. You know, other things we sometimes do to help with sleep can actually make it worse. So sometimes sleep aids can be helpful. Melatonin oftentimes can be prescribed in consultation with the doctor and sort of has natural helping properties. Sleeping medication can help, but in the long run, that can actually make more difficulties as well, as people can become dependent on that. You know, alcohol is another thing we often hear. You know, it's easy, have a beer or two, you'll be tired, you can get to bed. The problem is, though, the quality of sleep goes down, and it doesn't necessarily in the long run help. In fact, it can make sleep difficulties worse. So, you know, there really isn't one simple magic solution, but simply protecting time and really avoiding some of the things that can alter or affect our sleep. You know, on the other side of it, too, it's sort of what we do during the day. So caffeine, we often use to compensate for not having enough sleep. You know, one of the challenges, though, is the more caffeine you're drinking, especially later in the day, it can impair your ability to fall asleep, and you can kind of get caught in that vicious cycle of sleep difficulties.
Does the sleep need to be consecutive, or what if you're getting 5 hours at night, but then you're taking a two-hour nap in the middle of the day?
Oh, great question. Yeah, naps can be tricky. In general, we really encourage people to try to avoid napping, and if you are, limiting naps to 30 minutes or less. That's especially, though, if you're having difficulty sleeping through the night. In general, you know, we don't have lots of research on this, but in general, we find that having one solid block of sleep tends to be the best in promoting the healthy functions of sleep. When we look at the science of what goes on during sleep, our body actually, all sleep isn't actually equal. Our body's going through different stages of sleep where you have different patterns of brain activation, and it turns out that sort of each of those phases has different functions, and we need all of them in our sleep. So if you're sleep deprived, or if you're taking lots of short naps or sort of breaking up your sleep, you may not get the best balance of all of those sort of different waves or phases of sleep to help you feel rested and to help all of the restorative properties of sleep take hold.
What about people who work what I would call odd shifts, people who maybe get off at 8 in the morning, which means they're going at about midnight? How does this affect their sleep, and is it possible for them to get the same kind of fitful sleep that someone on a quote-unquote normal schedule could get?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, really the most damaging or dangerous situation is where you have a sleep schedule or a work schedule that's changing, right? So if you're on the night shift and you've been on the night shift for 20 years, you really can adjust. It's a little tricky because our, you know, sunlight really kind of could challenge us a little there, but you can reset your circadian rhythms, your body's biological clock over time to adjust for that. Where folks really tend to get in trouble is if their shifts and their sleep and wake cycles are switching around. So this can happen where, you're right, you might have a morning shift one day, then into the overnight, and then moving around. This especially happens in, when we're training doctors or in medical settings, folks who are working factories, other sort of service jobs. And that really can lead to a dangerous situation because our body just can't compensate that quickly. Right. And we can end up in situations where you really can't be fatigued, and we can see higher rates of errors on the job. So there have been studies looking at doctors in training who oftentimes do have times where they're on call for overnight and then back to another full days of work, or sometimes evenings and sometimes overnight and into mornings and days. And they find that the more you move around that sleep schedule, the higher rates of errors you see being made. Right. So as we work to improve patient safety and healthcare, we're often trying to keep folks consistent on a sleep schedule. The military is also doing the same thing. Unfortunately, the U.S. Navy's had some incidents lately where fatigue has been a factor in sort of crew performance and decisions. So one thing they're experimenting with as well is trying to protect sleep and making sure that when you have different shifts or schedules, that you're not moving around your day or night cycles, that you're keeping to that consistent rhythm as much as possible. Because while our bodies can adjust, they can't rapidly cycle through. This is the same problem we have with jet lag, right? It takes a little time to adjust. So the more we can do to, you know, protect our own sleep and, you know, try to work with our employers or other places to have, you know, a set schedule can really help us be more productive and hopefully happier and healthier as well.
Finally, what about the notion that one can miss sleep throughout the week and make up for it by sleeping 14 hours on the weekend?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is a very popular strategy among our college students here in the area, right? And teenagers everywhere, I think. And, you know, the research isn't really great on this, right? While it certainly, you know, it can happen. You can certainly sleep in on the weekends. It's not clear that that's restorative or catching up. This idea of sleep debt seems to be a sign associated with greater health difficulties, stress, and psychological difficulties down the line, right? So while, yes, it may work in a day or two in a situation where you might have to, but if you fall into that as your pattern, it doesn't seem to be a healthy pattern all the time. You're better off keeping to a fairly consistent schedule, and yes, even on the weekends, waking up about the same time you would during the weekday, building in that consistent right amount of sleep for you each night.